This morning we're going to be looking at a time that Jesus touched a man that shouldn't have been touched. Well, according to the customs of the day, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We're going to talk today about the power of the healing touch of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Let's go ahead and read that, shall we, together? If you'd turn there, Brother Brad. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was indignant, and I have to think that that word indignant means that Jesus was frustrated. He was frustrated at what sin had done to this man. It wasn't necessarily that this man had sinned personally, but rather that the effects of sin on all of God's creation continues to linger and continues to be demonstrated in the lives of ordinary people like you and me. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. And he has said that today. "I am willing. Be clean." Philip Yancey, in a book called Pain, The Gift That Nobody Wants, spent time with a world-renowned surgeon, Dr. Brand, who himself spent time in India, in the United States, studying leprosy and what is involved in leprosy. Leprosy may not be what you think it is. I know until I read this book, I didn't understand that leprosy is a neurological disease. We think of it as a skin disorder, but it's deeper than that. Leprosy kills the nerves. Leprosy, where you have a deaf person can't hear, a blind person can't see, a person with leprosy can't feel. And so, initially, we may think that living without pain would surely be a wonderful thing, but the pain mechanism that God has placed in our bodies is there for a reason. It's an indicator. It's like a dash light on your car that says, "Service engine soon." It says that something in your body is not quite right and needs to be treated. Or refrain from that activity because you're hurting me. Now, if you have leprosy, you may be doing something as simple as mopping a floor, not knowing that the shoe that you're wearing has a rock in it and is going through the flesh and into the bone. And you may not even turn your foot over to see that there's a problem. Bacteria infections set in, and it's not very long before a person can begin to lose appendages to leprosy because they didn't even know that it hurt. Because it's such a scary disease, those affected were marginalized in the first century to living in leper colonies. They had to abide by a code of behavior that said they have to be outside the community, marginalized outside the community, and the rest of the well community could stay where they were. But if anybody approached from the well community to the leper colony, the lepers had to send out a warning that said, "Unclean! Unclean!" And that would be indication to those who didn't have leprosy to stay their distance. A father that contracted leprosy in his 50s could never go back home and share a hug with his kids or kiss his wife. Once he was diagnosed with leprosy, he could not be a part of the well community ever, 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 ever again. Our scripture shares with us this morning that Jesus touched the untouchables. Those on the margins. One of the richest and most challenging times of Jeanette and I's professional career has been when we worked for Jeanette 3 years and myself 2 years at the Janet Waddles Mental Health Clinic in Rockford. Jeanette led the most intensive team in community treatment of individuals who were suffering from severe mental illness. And it required that Jeanette and her team, not Jeanette personally, but her team, her staff, would attempt to contact and visit individuals with major mental illness 5 times a week. And so they were helping with medication administration, they were helping with management of symptoms. I worked for the CST team, which was a step level down in regards to intensity of treatment, community-based treatment. And our goal was to reach out to the individuals who are marginalized by the community, marginalized by their infliction, 3 times a week. And we saw some pretty tough stuff because we were visiting people in their homes or under a bridge or wherever they were keeping themselves together. We did a lot of work with the Rockford Rescue Mission. And one of the avenues of help and treatment was to help those individuals maybe get off the street and into the homeless shelter where there were a lot of good programs, and that's certainly a cause worthy of support. The Rockford Rescue Mission is wonderful, wonderful. We saw a lot of stuff. We saw hoarders who hoarded everything, and their houses had not been cleaned for years. And then we saw individuals who had nothing but maybe a light bulb provided by the landlord. No toilet paper, no soap, no dishes, no bedding, no pillows, only what they had on their bodies and what was provided by the landlord. And we found that there were individuals all throughout the community that had been marginalized, either self-inflicted marginalization, I guess you could say, because some people kept themselves on the outside by being mean emotionally or psychologically to you. And you know, you look under that and you realize that somebody had been mean to them and they're not going to let you hurt them anymore. So they will have a abrasive attitude towards you. One of the individuals that I worked with for a couple years lived literally in the woods for 5 years before I met him. His beard was down to here and his hair was down to here, and he hadn't taken any care of himself for years. There were those who were marginalized, most recently that Jeanette worked with, who were marginalized because of their illegal behavior. Jeanette most recently served at the Dixon Correctional Facility as a unit director of the most intense mentally ill, and saw a lot of tough stuff. The first day she came home and said, "This was a tough day." She said one of the inmates that they called her attention to had already gotten one of his eyes out and was working on getting the other one out. There's those who are marginalized physically by being hospitalized. How many times have we went to the hospital to visit someone and there's a sign on the door that says, don't go in there unless you suit up. And you're like, oh, that's going to be inconvenient. So you go to the nurse's station and you suit up and you've got this mask on and you got the hat on and you got the everything on and you're walking in and you say, hi, Mrs. So-and-so. And they're like, who are you? I'm like, it's Pastor John. Oh, okay, come on in. Illness, hardship, emotional resistance. Jesus touched the marginalized. I love the fact that Jesus used three illustrations in John chapter 15. He said, what one of you, if he had 99 sheep in his fold, wouldn't, and he had one lost, wouldn't leave the 99 and go out to the one who was lost? And then when he found the lost one, came back and said, I found my sheep, and all the neighbors would rejoice. You see, it's the same idea that we talked about last week when Jesus was out praying in a lonely place all by himself, and everybody in the house was frustrated. Peter's mother-in-law sent Peter out to go get Jesus, and I can imagine a couple of the other disciples were, you know, tagging along to give him support because Jesus was supposed to be in a place where he just wasn't there. And so they were going to get Jesus, and when they finally found him, they said, Jesus, where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. Jesus gets up, and what's the first thing he says? Let's go to those who haven't heard the good news yet. Instead of going back to the people who knew him and knew his healing power, he went out to those on the margins. Can you hear me all the way back? And then he talks about the story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, you got the son who was discontent with being in his father's house where his father had wealth and riches and he lived with his family and he got discontent, he got a little ornery and he went out and he spent everything that he had after he asked for his inheritance ahead of time. And he went out and he got out in the margins, didn't he? And he found himself in a pig pen. And he said, here I am. Thinking about how starving, hungry I am, and there's my father back and my brother and my family, and they're probably sitting by the fire eating popcorn and having steaks, and here I am, and I can't even, the farmer won't even give me the husks that the pigs are eating. And when he came to himself and he realized he was in the margins, he came back. Bad things happen in the margins. You remember it was Adam and Eve that they were enjoying the blessing of God in the garden, and then they sinned. And they went from being blessed in the garden to cursed outside the garden. And bad things happen outside when you live in the margins. Because that's where, you remember Cain killed Abel? But the beautiful thing of it is that God loves to seek those who are in the margins. And the reality is all of us have lived there. Not outside of his love, but outside of his will for our lives. A couple verses that... Brad, I might have got ahead of myself a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Let me just read, and Brad can put up what he has there. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God and its law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, that's in the margins, outside of God's plan for their life. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And then Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Before I read that, let's go back to the story of the prodigal son. He gets up and he's like, stomach's growling, starving. And he's thinking, man, I have messed up. I got nothing. I spent the family fortune. I'll go back to my father. And it's the love of the father that compels to reach out to the son that was in the margins. And the son's thinking the worst. I'm going to have to beg my way back. But while he was still a long way off, the Bible says, his father saw him and he had compassion on him and he ran to him and he threw his arms around him. You see, God loves to seek those who are in the margins. Oftentimes at the expense of those who are already in the fold and very comfortable. Just loving being with Jesus. Loving worshiping him. And then Jesus takes off and goes to seek those who aren't there yet. That's a great ministry plan for the church. Because Pastor Bob Clarity closed the service out at Lost Lake this morning and he said, you know, we've got a beautiful sanctuary here and we have a beautiful one here too. But he said, if we're not careful, we can begin to think that this is what it's about. And forget that there's those living in the margins out there that Jesus has called us to leave our comfort and to be highly inconvenienced and to live a highly sacrificial life, to go and reach those who are living in the margins. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, at one time we too were in the margins. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Does this sound familiar? The old life. By the way, if you are having a problem with not liking people, just pray for the love of God to fill you. That's the answer. And if people frustrate you, just pray that God will give you his vision. Because he gave his life for people that were crucifying him. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, brought us home out of margins. Brought us home, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus touched the untouchable. Dr. Luke tells us in his account that not only did the man have leprosy, Dr. Luke says the man was full of leprosy. This was a scary case. Dr. Luke helps us understand that Jesus was taking a risk here. Jesus was risking contamination. And, you know, I think sometimes we look at verses like James 1:27 that says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And we think, as long as I don't smoke or chew or go with girls that do, I'm good. But Jesus helps us know that it's all about reaching out to those who are living on the margins. For you see, the relationships that we have are God's bridge to Himself. Spirit-filled living is not withdrawing from sinful people. It is saying no to sin and loving people. And we can't love like that because people get in our way. We can't, in our flesh, we cannot love like that because they get in our way. But when we allow Jesus to give us His eyes and His heart, the people that we are with, we recognize that God loves them and I can too with His great love. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Jesus risked His reputation, and we will risk our reputation if we mingle with the marginalized. Here was a sinful woman who came and anointed Jesus, and the Pharisee who had invited Jesus into his home was like, he muttered under his breath, if he knew who this was that was anointing him, surely he wouldn't be allowing this to happen. And Jesus said, let her go. What she's doing is a beautiful thing. She's anointing my body for burial. He risked reputation. He risked contamination. But I think the thing that we maybe worry about so much more in our life is the risk of inconvenience. Medical science has taken care of a lot of the risk of contamination that used to be huge in the first century. And we're not so much worried about keeping ourselves separate so much anymore, even in regards to behavior. It seems like a lot of that's just kind of gone away. We hear Jesus telling us to come out from among them and be separate, and we're just not that worried about it. Some of our behavior really kind of almost matches those who are living still in the margins. But I think one of the things that we are most worried about is the risk of being terribly inconvenienced to minister to those in the margins. But touching people in the margins will be inconvenient. In fact, it was never convenient for Jesus to leave where was comfortable and go to where there was no support. Our missionaries do it. They leave the comforts of home and go. Jesus calls us to do it too. But you see, there really isn't any other way to do ministry other than the inconvenient way. Because there's just no other way. They're in the margins, which means it's separate from where God has us now, living His will. We have to go seek. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, stay. Ministry can't happen if we just stay where's comfortable. In fact, I'd have to say that if we're not being inconvenienced in doing ministry, we probably aren't getting much done. Because that's where ministry happens. In the highly sacrificial and the highly inconvenienced times of our lives. Jesus came all the way from heaven to reach us. And surely, we can reach out to. Jesus said, be clean. I think about the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, healing in all areas of his life. Be clean. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest as a testimony of them, to them. And I think that was like Go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health so that the doctor who knows you will glorify God. Because this was an impossible case. But look what God has done. Amen. Go show yourselves to the priest and offer sacrifices. And that word kind of stuck with me this week. And I was thinking, there's no way to do ministry without sacrificial giving either. And it's not that God needs our money, it's that He wants our heart. And until we are experiencing the joy of sacrificial living, our heart is pretty unpliable. But you give a guy a Bible that's broken and knows where he came from, it's natural for him to share what Jesus has brought him from and the will and work that God has as he shares the hope of Jesus Christ. I thought about offering sacrifices like the tithes and offerings of the church. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this," God says, "and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and open up a blessing so much that you won't even be able to contain it." And I thought, you know, we're going to start a brand new church year in March. And I almost thought we should call this the whole tithe year. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and just take God at His word and test Him in this. He invites us to and says, "See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that you cannot contain." That comes as we give sacrificially. Jesus healed the man. He said, "Be clean," and He said, "Go. Show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices of thanksgiving." You see, he who is thankful for little, thanks little. But he who is grateful to a great degree lives sacrificially. Amen. I think about what happened with this guy. Jesus told him with a stern warning. We didn't read it a minute ago, but the story goes like this. He warned him sternly. He said, "Now don't go tell everybody." What did the guy do? He went and told everybody. He was ecstatic. He had been healed. And I think about the contagious power of hope. Amen. When somebody's been healed and we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for His healing, and when there's prayers answered, we get up and we say, "So-and-so made it through surgery this week, and there's healing, and there has been hope instilled." And we give God the praise, and we give God the glory. That's contagious, and people want to be around that. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That level of giving in Jesus' life was most inconvenient and ultimately sacrificial. But that's ministry. And that's what He's calling you and me to do as a way of life. "My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you." John 15. "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." And there's that relationship piece again. We just can't do very effective ministry unless we're personally invested. But that's where it gets sticky, doesn't it? Messy. Because relationships are messy. But that's inconvenient, isn't it? It's highly sacrificial to keep invested into a person who may be so hurt from past experiences that they just are thinking about not letting you in, but maybe they would. But not today. And you just keep on investing. It's highly inconvenient. It's highly sacrificial. But that's what Jesus has taught us to do. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin distributing the elements of communion. If you have your hands this morning, just hold them up like this. What inconvenient, highly sacrificial gesture of love is God calling you to do in someone's life this week? Someone is needing, who is living on the in the margins. Someone who is living in the margins needs a touch from you this week. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Look at your hands. I mean, what did I say? Excuse me, I misspoke. Those are not your hands. These are the hands of Jesus. I don't have any claim over what these hands do, because these are Jesus' hands. Lord Jesus, what highly inconvenient, highly sacrificial act of love would you have me do in someone else's life this week? I dedicate these hands to you to touch those who are living on the margins, to minister the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Gracefully and beautifully, as someone else has ministered to me. In closing, Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. It says this: "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of one of these, those on the margins, in the margins, for these my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it unto me.'" Jesus gathered the 12, and he broke the bread. As he broke the bread, he distributed it among his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we receive this bread, we remember that he gave his life for us. How inconvenient. How sacrificial. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. For no greater love has any man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Touch the untouchable. He didn't even bar Judas from the table that night. He said something about the hand that's on the table, the hand that dips the bread in as I dip, something like that. Touch. He loved. Let's receive this as a remembrance that Christ died for us and be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a symbol of his, the lengths that he was willing to go to. How inconvenient to die on a cross. How sacrificial that he would become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, no greater love has any man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. He said, this is love, that you love others as I have loved. Personal as it gets. Jesus said, if you're not willing to drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot be my disciple. And quite a few got up and left. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, are you going to leave me too? As they came to grips with how intimate and personal it was going to mean for them to live highly sacrificial, highly inconvenient to do ministry the way that Jesus did ministry. But what a privilege. Oh, what a sight. Oh, love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Thank you for being our healer. Father, we praise you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for touching this man who had leprosy, reminding us that to bring help and healing and hope and restoration into our lives. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for being willing to be inconvenienced and that you would live highly sacrificially, ultimately sacrificially, to restore our lives. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we sing. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Let's sing that. Thank you.
You're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Amen. You guys are dismissed. It cut off the... He's gonna find it.